It's Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, time is dwindling. With little over a week before funding for the Department of Homeland Security runs out, we'll hear the latest on the congressional standoff.
But first, Affordable Care Act enrollment numbers are out, and they're higher than the White House had projected.
Some 11.4 million Americans signed up for health insurance during the open enrollment period. The White House only expected 9.1 million people to enroll. However, enrollment numbers fell short of projections from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office.
Robert Craig joins us now to respond to the latest numbers. He's the executive director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Rob.
So apparently upwards of 11 million Americans enrolled in health coverage through the Affordable Care Act during this open enrollment period, higher than the latest projections coming into the session from the White House. What's your initial reaction to that number?
Well, it's a good, solid number, and these are people who don't have anywhere else to go to get good health coverage. They either don't have insurance at work, they're farmers or self-employed, and there's a lot of people like that in the United States, and now they have somewhere to go to get coverage that cannot be taken away from them, where they don't face any discrimination based on pre-existing conditions, and where over 80% of them get tax subsidies to help afford the coverage.
One criticism I've seen of this number is that only some percentage of this were previously uninsured. Some of these people are coming over from other existing coverages. Is that a problem in your mind?
No, not at all. I think that's a misnomer. There's this notion that the people who are uninsured in the United States are a static group of people. In fact, what happens a lot more often is people have periods of uninsurance where they leave one job and then are consultants, for example, then they get another job that has health insurance, and that those are periods of tremendous vulnerability where one major illness can bankrupt you and deny you access to life-saving treatment if you, say, diagnosed with cancer. And so the fact that people are moving into this new marketplace when they need it and then moving off, that's natural in this economy.
So what do you think is behind these higher-than-expected numbers? More demand, market changing, better job getting the word out there? What do you think that was?
Yeah, we've gotten beyond the healthcare.gov implosion from a year ago, so now the system is working. More people know about the system and can help other people. A lot of people who are signing up, which we didn't have a year ago, were saying, my goodness, that was easy, because they, of course, had heard the press coverage and the rumors and had thought that it was going to be very hard to do, and they found out it's easier than filling out their taxes. So I think that's part of it. I also think that, quite frankly, the employer-based health insurance system continues to fray because healthcare costs are still too expensive. And so there are fewer and fewer small businesses, for example, providing coverage. And that provides, and this is a place for all of those employees to go to get coverage no matter what.
Well, let's follow up on that thought. Is there any way you see in Obamacare that it's going to lower the net cost of health care for the nation and start leveling off that curve of increasing health care costs, no matter who's paying for them?
You know, most of the cost part, it was kicked down the road. And so there are some important reforms in Obamacare that helped. For example, we've saved billions of dollars by incentivizing hospitals not to allow people to get infections in a hospital or to have readmission too quickly. And so that saved 50,000 lives, according to one study. So there have been some advances like that. But a lot of the major cost reforms around changing the payment system to make sure we're paying for value and outcomes and not just services or evidence-based medicine. There are processes in the Affordable Care Act to look at that, to study that, to create systems, but they weren't done at the front end. And one of the real concerns we have as health advocates, Rob, is that because we are stuck in the debate in 2010 over and over again whether we should have the expansion of coverage under the Obamacare, we're not getting to the next huge issue, which is cost, which we have to get to be able to afford not only the Affordable Care Act, but Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance through employers or on your own.
And we're not entirely past that first issue you mentioned, debating the initial expansion of coverage. Republicans in Congress, most still opposed to this, hope for a substantial change, maybe even a repeal. Do you, as a supporter of this law, worry that that might happen?
I think there are real risks. There's both Congress, which wouldn't happen as long as President Obama is president, but could thereafter, and the Supreme Court threatening to take subsidies away from people in states that didn't build their own marketplaces, which include Wisconsin, which would throw 150,000 people or more off of their coverage in Wisconsin, because 90% in Wisconsin in the new marketplace get these subsidies. And so there are a lot of threats. The Republicans put up an alternative a couple weeks ago, which is dreadful. actually allows insurance companies to sell junk insurance again that doesn't cover anything, and actually says that if you have a break in insurance coverage, you don't have a right to buy it anymore, even if you have a pre-existing condition like cancer or something more minor than that. And so it goes back to the bad old days of discrimination against people who have health conditions.
So looking at the stick side of the carrot and stick equation of Obamacare, the Treasury Department estimates that as many as 6 million people will face fines for not having health insurance. That'll be in the next tax period, as I understand it. Has the threat, the concern about paying more in taxes, been an effective incentive to get people enrolled?
I think it has been an incentive. You had the biggest enrollment ever in the history of the program on Sunday, on the deadline. But there are other people that are unfortunately going to find out that there's a fine. The experience in Massachusetts, where this was done much earlier, has been that people over time respond to that and sign up for coverage, especially if it's made affordable for them. I like the idea the administration is now floating that they could have a special enrollment period for people who find out they have a fine and didn't realize it. And so there might be a way to help some of those people not have to wait till next year and actually avoid the fine. I think that would be a very good move if they can do it with executive action. I'm not sure Congress would allow them to do anything that would make Obamacare work, but I think it would be a good idea.
One question I've seen bandied about in the headlines since this news came out is Obamacare working? Probably an oversimplification of a complex problem, but in a nutshell, do you think it's working as more or less it was designed?
So far, so good. It's working as far as the new marketplace, and we have the 11.4 million people who signed up. It's not working as well as for people lower income on Medicaid, BadgerCare in Wisconsin, because of the number of states that refuse to take the money, including Wisconsin, though every Great Lakes state other than Wisconsin has taken the money. So more and more Republican governors are doing it, but that's got to be a failure. But that's not really the fault of the architects of the law. That's the fault of Republican governors and legislatures trying to sabotage the law, as we have here in Wisconsin. But overall, given all the problems in the Supreme Court decision, I think it's pretty positive. I think so far it's at least a B or B plus.
And I know you have been working with legislators trying to change that situation in Wisconsin, Democratic legislators. They're in the minority. Do you have any hope that that the situation might change here in the state?
We do. It's the Legislative Fiscal Bureau came up with numbers this week that said the cost in this budget of turning down the BadgerCare money is now $345 million. So that's an awful lot of money. You wouldn't have to make any of the cuts to the University of Wisconsin system, to senior care, to in-home supports for people with disabilities and seniors to keep them independent. All the cuts in this budget, cuts to K-12 education and the technical colleges. So I think that there's going to be a lot of pressure on the legislature to take the money because you can cover more people, because there are at least 26,000 people in a coverage gap, for less money and avoid cuts to very important investments in Wisconsin in this budget. So I think there'll be a lot of pressure. It's really about politics and ideology versus good public policy right now, and I hope it turns out better. There's also Iowa did it in a way very similar to Wisconsin. They did a waiver, but they got the money. And so there's a really good bill by Representative Daniel Reamer and Senator John Erpenbach that would take the money a different way that could satisfy Governor Walker and the Republicans' objections while also taking the money and making sure more people are covered and we don't have to make drastic cuts to other key investments.
Robert, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Rob. Great to be with you.
That was Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, responding to the latest healthcare enrollment numbers.